G-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
25106.3, The Game. Yes, that is right. Ask D-Mace. On the line, Post Malone tickets. That show Monday night or Sunday night at Bridgestone Arena, but you must participate. The best question will win a pair of tickets to see Post Malone. And Willie, you're going to keep tabs, as you always do. You can call or text on this one. So we will see what kind of questions we come up with. Yankees Guardians about to have first pitch. I love when Bob Costas does a game. I just got to throw
Oh, man, I do too.
Like, I'm enjoying doing the show with you guys, but I kind of wish I could, you know, turn Bob Costas
on. Focus in. I do think that he and Ron Darling are great individual announcers, two of my favorites. I did think it showed that they hadn't done a lot of games together before. In fact, I don't know if they had done a single game together before. I hope that the chemistry is a little bit better in this game. I think it will improve, but those two guys are two of the best. But, yeah, it was nostalgic for me to watch Bob Costas do a playoff game because I grew up, you know, with him in the 80s doing those big NLCS, ALCS games.
You know, we've gotten him on a few times, and he's always been great, you know, about it, about coming on. And just, I mean, it's must listen to because he just tells stories. But
endless.
Yeah,
so,
endless, for sure.
Big game. Big game for Cleveland. We'll see if they can find a way with their best pitcher pitching today in Shane Bieber, find a way to get even in this series. They got rained out, so this is, you know, the series dates have been thrown off because of it.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Let's start it off on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and go to Wes. Wes, welcome into Ask D-Mace.
Yeah, man. So I'm probably a little different than most people when it comes to tomorrow's game. So I'm not as excited about watching and seeing what happens because I am I'm not going to say a homer Tennessee Vols fan, but that's how I grew up. But long story short, I know the trend with Tennessee, and this is what my question is. Regardless of the outcome of this game, how likely is it that Tennessee does what Tennessee typically does, whether that be go out and win Alabama, and then they've got this big head thinking, oh, yeah, we're number one, we're the best, and then they don't win another game or they drop a game like Kentucky or all these other games
South
you're
Carolina.
Supposed to. South Carolina, exactly. So, you know, I'm worried about that just about as much as I'm worried about them going and playing Alabama and them just getting smoked. I think I predicted the score to be like 42-30 in favor of Alabama. But what are the chances of whether regardless win or lose, how do they take this game and still finish out the season strong?
Thanks, Wes.
We talked about it earlier, them not allowing the outside noise to infiltrate that locker room. And the outside noise could be good noise, you know, telling the team how good they are and congratulations on, if they do indeed beat Alabama, congratulations on a win and, you know, you're on your way and all this other stuff. But you got to keep that out of the locker room. You got to keep your team focused on the task at hand because he's right, Wes is right. You beat Alabama. And then you got UT Martin, you beat UT Martin, but after that you got Kentucky and Georgia, you know, after this huge win versus Alabama, you know, you got to still stay on task. And, you know, just because you beat Alabama doesn't mean you all of a sudden the best team in the SEC. Well, you still got a chance to lose versus a Kentucky, definitely a Georgia. And even, you know, a Missouri or South Carolina moving down the line. So, you know, they just got to keep everything in perspective on win or lose, knowing that win doesn't mean, you know, the end of their season, and nor does a loss mean, you know, our season is done. You know, you still got an opportunity to, you know, put yourself in a position to play in the national championship playoff. So with a win or a loss, your goal is to what? Is to be one of those final teams in the playoffs. That's your goal. So you beating Alabama, that doesn't mean you're going to attain your goal because you still got two other teams that are pretty good that you got to play.
Okay, no doubt. 615-737-1025. Willie, you got some texts?
I do, and I want to encourage people to keep bringing them. I love the creativity, the thoughtfulness of the questions. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. You can call or text. Here's a good one from Austin DeMace. He says, DeMace, my question is, what are some nuances about an NFL game that get lost in the translation of the TV coverage? And adding to that, what is the number one thing that you could get fans to understand about the NFL? So we're talking like beneath the surface, things that we don't see on a TV game. What do people not see about the NFL?
There's a lot of stuff they don't see when in regards. And I was saying this, I think I was saying this to you yesterday, Chase, at the game, or I might have said it to Ricky. Watching the game on television, you only thing they're focused on is the, you know, whether it be offense or defense. They're focused on what's right in front of them, like the right players in front of them. They're not focused on the sideline, what's happening behind the quarterback or in the stands. Or, you know, a guy may run through the tunnel because he has to go into the locker room to get something or use the bathroom. They're not focused on that. Only thing you see is the field, the 22 players right in front of you. Well, there's things that are going on the sidelines. You know, there's disputes going on the sideline between teammates, between coaches. You know, you got players running to get things in the locker room. You got strategies being, you know, drawn up on those tablets for the defense when they get back out on the field, or the offense when they get back out on the field. So the stuff that you see on television, that's just maybe 10-15% of what's going on. That other stuff, you know, the NFL does a good job at allowing you to see it, but later on. They don't allow you to see it during the game. You would see it later on, but a lot of that stuff that's going on, you know, on the sideline, in the stands, in the locker room, guys having to go back and forth in the locker rooms, that's the stuff that you don't see while you're watching the game. That's why it's good to go to a game, because then you can see everything. You can see those guys running in the locker room. You can see a quarterback and a head coach talking to one another about what happened on a previous play. So those are the things that you just don't get an opportunity to see unless the NFL truly wants you to see it. Now, what was the second one?
Well, I think it was all sort of tied in. It sounded like the same question. Here's one from an unnamed texter. Hey, D-Mace, what university's colors are green and white? Not Michigan State, because they're black and blue. An anonymous texter just taking a jab.
Oh, my goodness.
The Spartans, how can you do that? Ask D-Mace.
Wow.
Hey, man. Jeez. Hey. Listen, my Spartans have taken their lumps. You're right about that. But we okay. We're Spartan dogs. We'll be back. We still fighting. We're still barking and biting loud and biting hard. You know, barking loud and biting hard. We're going to continue to fight. We're backed in the corner. But just because we backed in the corner don't mean we're going to cower up. We're going to come out fighting.
No.
Don't
no
worry
puppies.
About that.
No puppies.
Hey, so Mel Tucker got them boys. Don't worry about that.
So the Riddler coming at him with the – he didn't name. We'll just tell him. We'll just call this guy the Riddler. 615-737-1025 for Ask D-Mace. Ask him anything. Hey, D-Mace. This is from Shane. Does Tennessee finally get to remove the Bryant Denny North sign off the stadium this year?
Well, let's hope so. I hope they do. Alabama has owned them for a good while here. I hope they do, and because I'm enjoying what Josh Heupel is doing with this program, because, you know, I've seen, you know, where this program has been and the ups and downs they've had the last 10, 15 years. And it seems like he has them on a good path. Everything seems to be pointing in the right direction. So I'm excited to see you know, what Josh Heupel will continue to do with this program, because it, you know, Tennessee is my home, so I root for Vandy, I root for the Vols, unless both of y'all play Michigan State. You know, I root for MTSU, even though they did beat in Michigan State in basketball. So I root for all the local teams, TSU. So it's sort of like this vested interest. You want them to do well. Even though it's Nick and I got coached by Nick and I'm partial to Nick, you know, if they do lose, there will be a bit of me like, oh, man, he lost. But then, you know, knowing what Josh Heupel is doing in Knoxville, that'll supersede anything.
615-737-1025. You can call, you can text. Ask D-Mace. Another round of calls. Sean, you'll be first up. And text coming up next. Post Malone tickets are on the line for this week's edition of Ask D-Mace. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms. No guys across the pond setting the lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business. They're right there behind the counter at the Superbook in Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds, boosts, and promo bets anywhere. So do like I do. Download that app. Make it your official sports book. It's what I use for everything, including the Vols +7 tomorrow at home in Knoxville against Alabama, the game that everybody has been talking about. You can go get it there. You know what? You can even dabble on the money line, which is what I'm probably going to do as well. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025. Post Malone tickets on the line. The best question will win that pair of tickets to see him Sunday night at Bridgestone Arena, but you must participate, call, or text. We'll get to more texts in just a second, but Sean has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean, welcome in.
Yeah, Derek Mason, I'm wondering, does D-Mace like ketchup on his hot dog? Thank you.
That's a great love it. These are the essential questions of life. And Derek, just beware, your answer will be picked apart. We were in Calgary, and we asked that question on Twitter, and man, did people go nuts. So how do you feel about this, D-Mace? Just be ready.
Okay.
There will be a reaction.
Here's what it is. If I was a, you know, meat eater or a hot dog eater, because I don't eat meat.
Now, when did you start not eating meat?
It went in phases. Like, when I was here, I think it may have been my fifth year, somewhere around it. I cut out beef, and then it just sort of, after some years, I sort of start cutting things out slowly. Okay. And it wasn't until 2008, somewhere around there, where I just completely.
Okay, so it's been a while. So
no, it was 2010. 10-11 when I completely
all right,
gave
so
up meat.
So yeah. While you were still playing,
I didn't know that.
You phased this out completely.
Yeah, I phased it out, yeah.
So when is the last time you had a hot dog?
Gosh, a hot dog?
Yeah. I mean, this is the key essential question.
It's been almost 20 years since I had a hot dog.
Okay.
But when I did eat hot dogs, it had to be grilled. I liked them grilled, and it had to be like a little burn. Around the edges, but I did put mustard and ketchup on it.
So you're okay with ketchup on the hot dog?
Yeah, I'm okay with mustard and ketchup.
That's what the guy's asking. Yeah. He wants to know because some people, I'm telling you, I almost got thrown out of the family before I ever married Erin because her side of the family, as soon as I grabbed that ketchup bottle, they freaked out. They were like, "What are you doing? You do not put ketchup on the hot." I mean, it just elicits this response by some people. they go crazy.
Yeah, I'm
know, okay with I'm putting okay ketchup with on hot
ketchup
dog,
and mustard.
But man, some people are tough about that.
Yeah,
yeah. Look, I don't understand why the. I mean, I put both.
Yeah,
I put both on my hot dog.
Yeah,
why can't
and I've
why
been
can't,
viewed? I've been viewed.
I don't
as a
see
communist.
Why not. But some people have a very
no,
strong
I know.
Opinion.
Like I have been viewed as a communist because I put ketchup on a hot dog. I'm like, what does it matter? Like it's fine.
Why can't ketchup and mustard live together in harmony?
Well,
I mean,
nobody complains if you put them both on a hamburger.
Exactly.
I know.
So
there's something about a hot dog. It's sacred. I tell you, the Mets booth is like that. I love watching the Mets broadcasters. I don't think I'll ever be invited if I show. But I got to keep that on the down low if I ever get up there.
Well, here's the other part. I'm crazy because a lot of times I'll just eat it plain. I don't put anything on.
I've never done that. Well, I'm not gonna say I never.
It depends on the hot dog.
I did it when I was a kid. I would grab the hot dog out of the pack and just eat it without even boiling it or anything.
It depends on who makes the hot dog. Like there are certain brands that I'm like I don't need anything.
And the
I'll
bun,
take it,
the
but
bun
I don't
is
need
key.
Anything. Yeah, the bun is. Also,
you got to have a good bun if you're gonna eat it plain. I mean, you better have a good.
Tasty
like that pretzel
bun.
Kind of bun? Yeah. All right, here's one from Justin over in Greenbrier. D-Mace, cats or dogs?
I'm a dog guy.
You're a dog guy,
yeah,
right?
I'm a dog guy. Me and cats. I don't hate cats, but, you know, cats are just... They're different. Yeah. They're different. You got to know how to approach a cat. Can't just be walking up to a cat all willing. You got to... Know what you're doing when you're approaching a cat, man.
He follows up with this one. I don't think this is a related question, but he just Altoids, no Altoids.
I was a big Altoid person back in the day, but
me too.
You know, now I don't. I figure, you know, I brush my teeth. I use my. I don't. My breath is good. You know, I mean, but I was an Altoid guy. I would get the cinnamon Altoids.
Okay,
cinnamon. Yeah.
That's a good call. I like the cinnamon Altoids. It's been a while, though. They're not as trendy as they were.
Yeah, they weren't. They're not.
For a time, they were like everywhere.
You eat
right?
those like candy, though.
Yeah.
The cinnamon ones? Yeah.
This is what I love about this show and our audience. Mm-hmm. Because as you just said, Willie, when Sean asked this question, the text line is now blowing up.
Yes, I told
you. Unnamed texter, ketchup, mustard, and relish. Sean in Murfreesboro, who asked the question, said, sorry for that excuse me. Sorry for that stupid question. I froze up. Ketchup on a hot dog, SMH. Dude, it was a great question.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was a valid question. Shane says chili. The answer to what you put on a hot dog is chili.
I can see that. Chili dog.
I love chili
I can
dog.
See a chili dog, yeah.
Viking Matt. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council says no ketchup on a hot dog. Fact. Well, you know what? They can go to hell. That's how I feel about it.
We got to vote for barbecue sauce from of Kentucky. Will, this is
barbecue. I mean, look, it's blowing
it's
up.
It's going crazy. Okay, we do have other questions for D-Mace. Are you ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
this, I got to make sure I get this right. This is from Allie in Bellevue. Allie asks, D-Mace, would you rather be a strawberry with human thoughts or a human with strawberry thoughts?
That's pretty good.
It all depends. It all depends on what are strawberry thoughts. Like just good thoughts, then I would rather be a human with strawberry good thoughts. But a strawberry with human thoughts, is that what she said? Because eventually I'm going to get eight. And I don't want to get eaten, you know.
I just want to know where Allie is and what is she having for lunch right now. Like
strawberries.
These are interesting.
She's probably having strawberries. That's why she asked the question.
The Yankees have taken a 2-0 lead on a Giancarlo Stanton two-run shot on Shane Bieber. So in the bottom of the first, there you go. Yankees up 2-0. Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. Terry has a question for Ask D-Mace.
Yes. Before I ask the question, I just want to say what's up to D-Mace. I don't know if you remember me, but it's around like 2013. I seen him at the Starbucks in Belle Meade. We took a picture, and then I think it was like a year after that, I seen him at when I was working at the Apple store. I don't know if you remember me or not. Do you remember me?
I can't say I do. I would love to, but I can't say I do. Dang it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But anyway, so my question is, so when you're a premier, because I heard earlier you were talking about stuff that you don't see on TV, like players going to the restroom and stuff like that. Something I always wondered was, when you're a premier player like Derrick Henry or something, if you have to go to the restroom, let's say you got to do, like, you know, number two or something that's going to take a long time, what do you do when it's, you know, like, you're still in the restroom and it's time for you to go out there? But, you know, you still, like, handling your business. Like,
well, that's an interesting question.
What do you do when you're stuck in that situation?
Well,
I hang up and listen.
No, because it's a crazy question, but it's a true question.
Didn't Lamar have that happen a few years ago?
Well, no, it happened to DK Metcalf. Last week.
Yeah,
where he had to go to the bathroom, he had to take a cart to the restroom. Like, it does. I mean, listen, the stuff like that's what I'm saying. The stuff you don't see, stuff like that does happen, and sometimes you gotta wait. You just gotta wait, because especially if you're a starter. Then you can't just, you know, you can't just run to the restroom and do, you know, whatever and come back, because you might miss a down or they might need you out there. So, everything is typically done, you know, during halftime, and then you just hope and don't have a bunch of coffee before the game or something like that, man.
You just hope you literally don't get the crap knocked out of you.
Absolutely, there you go. So, but yeah, stuff like that does happen, you know, where. If you ever see a guy behind a towel or a sheet, he's using the bathroom. 99.9% of the time, he's using the bathroom, and they're just trying to hide it.
Derek, I'm going to do this, and you know I love you. This question for Ask D-Mace: single, taken, or seeking?
They said, ask him anything. That's what the
you
ask
know how much rejection I face every day.
My daughter has my heart. Okay.
Okay. There you
my
go.
My daughter has my heart. So there you go.
How about them?
All right. Here's one from
Bailey.
Dylan.
Has my heart. There you go.
There you go. That's a good
90s
question.
Rap or early 2000s rap?
90s rap. Come on now. I know early 2000s is cool, and I get with it. But I'm a 70s baby, and I love my 90s rap, man. That's when rap was just cool. You can understand what they're saying. Now I can't understand these guys.
Where does he come from with early 2000s rap? That's interesting. Like, is that a specific that, 90s rap? I jump right in there because I'm with I'm a little bit older than you, but that I can get.
Early 2000s is Jay-Z, Biggie Smalls, even though I love all that, Tupac was sort of late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, Tupac died in 97, so did Biggie.
Yeah, so it would have been mid 90s when they were like at the peak of their career.
Like 93 to 90.
It was 93 to 97. 97, 98. Is when Biggie and Pac was at the height of their career.
Well, actually, 95 probably for Tupac, because that's when California Love came out and he really hit it big.
Well, no, when did Juice come out? That's
Ooh,
a reference.
Point.
Yeah, because Juice came out and he had just, I think Juice came out, then he did Brenda Had a Baby, and that all just blew up. Like, it just, his career just skyrocketed. He started doing more movies, Poetic Justice. What's the other movie he did with Belushi? Gosh, what was that movie called? I forget, it was a cop movie. So his career started to take off, and right along that, Biggie's career started to take off. So I'm 90s, man.
Yeah.
90s music.
I agree with that. All right, great participation. We gotta get to Michael Casagrande to talk more Alabama and Tennessee, but great participation. We'll announce the winner coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie has a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. They are helping people unlock cash from their home's equity, and they can do it in a very efficient way so that if you've got some bills to pay, they absolutely can get that money to you in a hurry. If you need cash for the holidays, to pay off credit cards, to pay tuitions, Other bills, Loan Pronto's all new Express Equity line of credit program is just what you need. This is a great program. You can keep your low mortgage rate that you have and still get cash out. That's right. You don't have to do a home refi, not a full refi. You can just tap a small portion of the equity you have and enjoy a super low rate. So this is the Express Equity credit line from Loan Pronto. You can close in 7 to 10 days, and a $50,000 loan will only cost you around $300 a month. So with Loan Pronto, you can access up to 95% of your home's equity. 9 out of 10 homeowners won't even need an appraisal. It's a very smooth process. Even if you did a total refi recently or just bought a home, you can still tap the equity with this fast, easy program. So do it now before the holidays and get it cranking. Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase William D-Mace plays Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Tennessee taking on Alabama this weekend, 2:30 on CBS tomorrow. We say hello to Michael Casagrande of AL.com, covers the Crimson Tide for them. Michael, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. So let's start with the big question that everybody is asking, and I know Nick Saban has talked about it quite a bit this week. Bryce Young, what is his availability for tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I mean, they're still not, you know, he's never going to say, flip a green light on, say, you know, he's definitely going, he's definitely going to play. That degree of mystery is always something they're going to want to hold on to as long as they can with this kind of situation. So if I had to put money on it, I would say he was going to play, but there's nothing definitive that says either way which one he's going to do.
So if he does play, I mean, how close to 100% do you think he actually is?
That's a great question that I'm sure everyone else is wanting to know the same thing. I can't say we don't get to see any practice anymore. It's hard to say we haven't seen him throw a ball since Arkansas. So it's hard to say exactly definitively how strong he's going to be, what percentage is that arm, can he put the same zip on the ball. So it's a lot of great questions unanswerable at this point heading into tomorrow.
Nick Saban is notorious for talking about rat poison and, you know, keeping that out of his locker room. But a lot of expectations with Tennessee on the other side and a lot of hype with Tennessee. How has Saban or how do you think Saban can use that to his advantage?
Yeah, there really hasn't been a whole lot of talk about that with us this week in terms of that aspect of it. But I'm sure, there's some degree of pressure that goes on to Tennessee's back for this game, just knowing that they've got the streak, the 15 years of losing this game, and the first, I mean, I've covered the team for 13 years, and it feels like this is by far and away the most positive momentum Tennessee's carried into this game. So, yeah, I mean, with that comes, there's always a psychological warfare with this, any of these games, with this program. I know Saban's always talked about that sometimes the difficulty of getting everyone's head in the right place. These are players who don't know the Alabama-Tennessee rivalry as one that's being competitive. So it's sometimes it takes some training on their part to get these kids to know what's on the line, what they're heading into. And this is a team that also hasn't been to Neyland Stadium with a full capacity crowd. I don't know if anybody other than Henry Toa, Tyler Steen, maybe from transfer from Vanderbilt, who even knows what a full Neyland Stadium is like. So it's, there are a lot of different dynamics that are heading into this game.
We're talking with Michael Casagrande discussing Alabama, the upcoming game tomorrow. Alabama will travel here to Knoxville to play number six, I believe, Tennessee. I believe they're number six.
Yep.
Right now. Now, looking at this Alabama team, they haven't had, the playmakers that they've had in previous years. This is a program that, at least over the last 10 years, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they've had playmaker after playmaker at that wide receiver position. This year, I know they got some good players, but they don't have that marquee guy that they've had before. Is it more now, Bryce Young, Nick Saban, he's more about distribution rather than finding that one explosive playmaker on the outside?
No, I'm sure they would much rather have a Jamison Williams type. Jamison Williams, John Betsy from a year ago, where those two clearly were far and above, you know, they were the deep threat and more the underneath threat, respectively, where they were putting up big numbers. I'm sure the leading receiver has just over 200 yards in six games. So I'm sure I know people can spin it as this, that they're very balanced. They have five guys who are within about 15 yards of each other near the top. I don't think that was the way they drew it up. I think they were expecting to have a little bit more of explosiveness, a little bit of that home run hitter that they had a year ago with Jamison Williams, and just hasn't developed at this point. I know Tyler Harrell was a name that everyone was kind of throwing around as being having the same track star speed that Jamison Williams had when he transferred from Ohio State, but Harrell hasn't played yet since he transferred from Louisville over the summer. So, yeah, it's kind of a interesting mixture of having a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and you know there isn't that true alpha, that star receiver who everyone knows it's going to go to him, or everyone knows that it's you know a guy who's going to create at least matchup issues.
What are your thoughts, Michael, about the kicking game? That's you think that this kind of game, maybe if it goes the way the Tennessee wants, will be close and it might come down to a kick or two. How do you feel about the special teams right now?
I can't say much. I don't know if I know that much about Tennessee's kickers at this point, but I know Alabama's Will Riker's kind of had. He's been easily the best kicker they've had in the time I've covered the team. Kicked the game winner again at Texas. Just been very clutch. And he missed two a week ago, one a 47-yarder and another one 35-yarder that was pretty surprising. He's been so automatic inside of 40. So, you know, it's kind of bringing up some of those anxieties for Alabama fans who have been, if there's been one thing over the last 15 years that's really got to them, it's the miscues in the kicking game. So, you know, I'm sure before last week they'd have been totally fine with where they were kicking, but, you know, you wonder if that doubt starts to creep in, if that confidence starts to become a factor with kickers, because you sometimes never know that the best kicker can go on the worst streak. So, going on the road in an environment like that, I'm certainly can't help the mindset of a kicker, so it'd be interesting.
We're always asking ourselves the question, and it's always hard to answer, and that is where Alabama's roster is relative to what we've seen when they've been at their best the last, you know, 5-10 straight years, where you they're at the top always, and where Tennessee is. I did hear Nick Saban said, I think he's pretty sincere. He thinks Tennessee is the best team that they face this year on paper. That says a lot about where Tennessee's roster is.
Yeah, no, definitely. It seems like it's a different look to this team. The depth is different. Playmakers are different. Tennessee's obviously had some over the years in the last 10, 15, just hasn't had enough of them to fully be able to compete for 60 minutes consistently against this Alabama team. So, yeah, I think this will be they passed all the tests at this point. Five games. The sixth game, I'm sure, is as big of a test as they'll have. Georgia coming up, obviously, but this will be a real, you know, health check of where are they on the being back meter, I guess you might say.
Michael, it's going to be an interesting game tomorrow. It's going to be a fun game for sure. Appreciate your time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Michael Casagrande, AL.com, covers Alabama for them as Tennessee takes on Alabama tomorrow at 2:30 in Knoxville. Coming up next, we will get back into that discussion, the rat poison, and how both teams are dealing with that. We'll do that next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. They're a big sponsor of our radio coverage for the Nashville Predators. You'll also see their display all around Bridgestone Arena when you come to Smashville. The next home game will be Tuesday against the LA Kings. Now, the Predators are on the road here, but I noticed next week in some of the weather reports, it's supposed to start getting cold here pretty soon. So I have you checked to see if your heater is running properly. Probably haven't kicked it on in a while. So if that's the case, get the heating unit checked and do it before the weather gets cold by calling Lee Company at 615-567-1000 or go one step further and get on the annual home maintenance plan. Not only will they check your heating every year, they'll check your cooling system when the weather starts getting warmer in the spring, and then your plumbing and electrical systems will be checked as well. It's a great program. Call and find out more about it. 615-567-1000. But get that heating unit checked now, because you don't want to be sitting there when it gets cold and have no heat. It may have been a while since you used it, and it's always good to do that maintenance. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Go to LeeCompany.com for more.
Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mace, and Willie Donick here with you. Our college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game is MTSU and Western Kentucky, 100 miles of hate at 2:30. College football game of the week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. That is always a fun game. And look, we got some Blue Raiders. We got some Hilltoppers, Nick, all throughout the building. So should be a lot of fun.
Roll Tops, baby.
For that. Do they say that? Do they really say that?
Will Tops?
Roll Tops.
Oh, Roll Tops. Please, I hope they don't say that. Yeah, I hope they don't
say that. Not often. Not often.
They should never say that. Ever. Yeah,
the only thing that rolls is the tide.
Exactly.
That's just...
You can't make up Roll Tide.
Out of Tennessee has anything to do with it on Saturday.
Hey, very nice transition there, Nicholas. Because that is what Josh Heupel and company are going to try and do, is stop this momentum. They've never beaten Nick Saban. It's been 15 years since they have won a game against Alabama, and they are primed and ready. But how do they deal? We talked about this earlier. How do they deal with the hype? How do they deal with the pressure when they've never been in this position before? I was texting with Robbie Stanley, and he made a really good point of all these Vols fans that are worried about, you know, winning the big game and then turning around and you know, having the letdown against a lesser team like a Kentucky or a South Carolina. When was the last time they were actually in this position? You know, when was the last time that they've actually beaten an elite team like an Alabama or a Georgia? And I think that's a really good point. I mean, it's been a while since they've been in this position. Florida was a huge win for them because that's a rivalry game and that's one that they needed to win. Florida's not a very good team. LSU was a big win for them because Tennessee clearly is better than LSU. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge confidence builder for them to go into Baton Rouge and dominate. That game was nothing like we thought it was going to be when the schedule came out. We thought that game was going to be a night game, a must-watch. You could have two teams that are undefeated. And that wasn't the case. Well, now this is where the big boys play, as they used to say in World Championship Wrestling. This is where you want to match up. You go and you play with the big boys, and you beat Alabama tomorrow at home.
Yeah, I mean, this season for UT, you know, has gone. You know, it has gone a way that I don't think many expect it to go. Now you can ask diehard Vol fans, and they were, we knew we were going to be 6-0 or 5-0 at this point of the season. But I think realistically, if you looked at the team, they did finish the season, you know, pretty good. So you saw some stuff there. You saw Hendon Hooker and him play last year, and you sort of felt good about that. But obviously Cedric Tillman as well. You felt good about Cedric Tillman as well. But you didn't know what would this team look like the next following year. Would they take that and sort of allow it to filter over into the next season? So I don't think many people thought, you know, UT would be at this point ranked number 6 going up against Alabama, and both teams are undefeated. But this is where you are. As a team and as a, you know, Vol Nation, and just embrace it and enjoy it, and know that, you know, UT has an opportunity. It's not like UT is walking into this game and they've had a great season thus far, but everybody's looking at this game like, ah, yeah, this is the game they're going to drop, and, you know, then they can move on past that. No, this is a game that, you know, that you can see UT winning. If somebody come up to you and say, well, I feel UT's going to win, you're not going to look at them like they got three heads. Right, you're going to be like, you know, I can see that happening. They have the talent. on offense. They have the right coach to coach this offense. They just, you know, the defensive line played exceptionally well last week, so you hope that filters over to this game. So there's a lot of positives in UT's favor heading into this weekend's game versus Alabama.
I'm looking at a couple things. Turnovers. Alabama, we know they're going to get after the passer. They usually have those difference-making guys that can get to the quarterback without them having to bring a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Can they do that? And I like Nick Saban's ability to try to limit just the simple, I'm bringing people, but then Hendon Hooker's just going to run. Like, mm-hmm. if they can control that some. But can Tennessee do their thing with the tempo they have and not have the key turnovers? I think that's when you play high tempo like they do, I think they're going to have their moments. I think they're going to look good at times during the game. But the key will be, can they go through all those plays? Because a good Tennessee game plan is they're going to run a lot of offensive plays. Mm-hmm. If I'm Alabama, I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to get some yards on us. But can we get that tip ball? Can we strip the ball a couple of times? Can we pick off a pass and put our offense in great shape? Because that's the name of the game in these high-paced games. Remember a couple of years ago, I think it was the 2020 when nobody was in the stands. Remember mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss team mm-hmm. was running that spread, and it was literally like a perfect game for both offenses. Like, each team was scoring a touchdown. I think I had some games at recess like that where there's no defense being played, and every single time the team had the ball, they scored a touchdown. Lane Kiffin went into the second half with kind of an okay Ole Miss team, and they just were perfect. But then the cream kind of rose to the top at the end of the game. I don't remember exactly how it ended, but they were playing that well. I think if Tennessee is sharp, even if they have to punt it a couple times, just avoid those turnovers there. I think that's going to be a massive part of the game.
Here's why it's going to be difficult for Alabama to get turnovers. And this is why I like Josh Heupel in his offense and in the playmakers they have. He spreads you out so far, he makes you declare what defense you're playing. That helps the quarterback. That's one of the reasons Hendon Hooker hasn't thrown an interception yet. Because once he gets in that shotgun, those wide receivers are like a yard from the sideline. I can see what defense you're in. You can't it's hard for you to disguise what you're doing in the secondary. You know, if I bring my receivers in a little bit tighter, it's easier for you to disguise what you're going to do. Cover two, cover four, you know, cover three, man. It's easy. Whatever coverage you want to play. When those receivers come tighter to that hash, it's easier for me to disguise what I'm going to do. Well, I can't disguise as much if everybody's outside the numbers. You know, it's hard for teams. That's why I think that's one of the reasons, you know, besides I think Hendon Hooker just makes really good choices. He's not going to take too many risks. But I think one of the reasons he hasn't thrown an interception or turned the ball over yet, because he can see what the defense is doing. They've declared already before he takes the snap.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very good point, Derek. So, look, I can't wait. I'm tired of talking about it now. I'm just ready to watch the game. I mean, I am hyped for 2:30 tomorrow. I've basically told everybody, leave me alone, unless you want to meet me at a sports bar and drink Screwball and watch Tennessee and Alabama.
You got a good crop of games all day, though. You talked about this yesterday, Chase, on the show. Man, it starts Penn State, Michigan at 11. Yeah. There's good games all day.
Yeah, this is where college football really starts to heat up. Mm. It was funny. I was, he's in Chicago, so I was talking to Ryan, and he goes, "Yeah, I have to go to a pumpkin carving on Saturday."
What?
Welcome to parenthood.
Exactly.
And I said, I'd be sick if I was you.
Oh, I'm just really not feeling well.
Ooh, I just came down with a case of.
It's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. I'm not really feeling
it. Just a little sweat.
You know what he needs to do? And I'm guessing he hasn't seen this movie because our former program director. He needs to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off for a couple pointers. How Ferris pulled the trick. You got to have this non-specific symptoms, right? Yeah. That you just, you know, you don't feel well. You just I got, you know, I got sweaty palms, and I got, you know, I just, it's an overall achy feeling, just short of needing to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right. That you, yeah. He said going to the doctor is worse than going to school. He's right about that. He's got to be just not well enough to go to the pumpkin carving.
Yeah.
So he can just stay on the couch. I think I'm okay if I just rest.
I just need
on
to rest.
The couch. Yeah, I just need to be on the couch.
Here's the thing. His wife Amanda would see right through it.
Yes, she's way too sharp for that.
Yeah, and but I feel for him because, you know, in Chicago you have basements, and so he's got a great basement. He's got a perfect man cave. The man cave was built for Saturday. I mean, that's exactly. I mean, he's got two TVs. He's got the beer fridge right there. So I feel for him. So T's and P's on
there
that. Enjoy your pumpkin carving, Ryan. But coming up next, Eddie George, the head coach at TSU, former Titan. We're going to talk to him. That is all next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.